The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Do the music, Justin.
We get funny with the money that you bought.
You know what's funny? So because we're all
that was horrible.
Could you pour my drink, you motherfucker?
I will, because we're
that's please? Sal's job. He's closest.
It was his job like 10 minutes
I'll
ago.
I'll do in a second. But we gotta
ever.
Do. We gotta do.
I like that
first.
Beat, Adam. That
we gotta do this commercial.
I got you, bro. Yeah.
I know what happened.
I've been.
We're
practicing.
All Sal. You didn't contribute.
We're
on
all
that
inebriated.
One,
we thought that sounded good when we listened to it sober. We're gonna fucking sound horrible.
Why you gotta bring us down, dude? We're in a good. Spot
it's
right
gonna
now.
Make us all crazy.
Hey, tell
listen,
some.
I
tell,
wanna,
tell
such
people,
a mood killer.
Tell these mofos how they can save some money,
dude.
Please.
So here we're about to give you guys a secret. I swear to God,
this and is it's a, like the book, The Secret.
This is a secret code,
but better. It's better.
Special for the Ben Greenfield interview.
It's not as much of a cult.
Save this. This is a code. It works on any MAPS program. I don't care what MAPS program. MAPS Anabolic. MAPS
oh
Performance.
God.
MAPS Aesthetic. MAPS Prime, MAPS Anywhere.
Whichever MAPS program you haven't got yet. I mean, for goodness sakes.
Use this code and you'll get not 5% off,
not
10% off, 20 fucking percent off.
Get out of here.
Any of those programs with this code right here. Get a pen and paper. I'm going to give you 2 seconds to grab one. Ready?
1, 2.
Here we go.
Okay.
Special 20. Special has to be in upper caps. Special 20.
Like Adam is special 20.
20.
Special 20. That is your code for 20% off any MAPS program. That's it. Do it now. Don't
MindPumpMedia.com.
MindPumpMedia.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You even know his website? Fucking
Ben
asshole.
Greenfield Fitness.
Thank you, Justin.
Let's hope it's that.
Come on. Listen, we...
Bunch of assholes we are. Ben is a fucking stud. And
he's
we're not
a stud.
Gonna,
he's,
I love the guy.
He's one of our favorite people. You're going to hear us talking to him in this next episode. But I want to let you guys know something. We were not totally natural during this interview. There was a little bit of enhancement, mind enhancement.
That's right.
I'm not going to go into what it was.
We're not going to talk about the red ball therapy.
Yeah, it could be It could be some of the
maybe
hacking.
That was it.
The biohacking tools could have been microdosed of mushrooms or LSD or natural nootropics or Chimera. Or
that you're excited about life.
Or it could have been all of those things at the same time. Yeah. I'm not saying it was.
I
I'm
think
just
it was
saying,
the altitude.
I'm just saying it could have been.
Come on, man.
And so you're going to hear a fire episode.
I was dehydrated.
It's a fire episode. Great time with Ben Greenfield. You can find his website, Ben Greenfield Fitness. He's also got a great podcast. If you like to learn stuff, if you like to be smart, if you want to know more than the next guy.
This is like, Ben is the, I mean, I've never met more of a true biohacker than Ben. Ben
a
is
very well-read biohacker.
There you go. That's another thing too. Like I've met some guys that like claim to be biohackers and they like know a little bit about one thing. Like this motherfucker knows, knows a
he
lot.
He reads everybody's shit.
Yeah.
Very smart guy, great man, great father, great host. Here's Mind Pump talking to Ben Greenfield.
Let's try and do two times speed talking the whole time. So he's one of my favorite guys. What do you think about that, Ben?
That's way too funny.
Micro machines.
Micro machines.
Where do you think that guy is at now?
Disclaimer.
Where
the micro machines guy?
Where do you think the micro machine guy is at now?
He probably just like collected a bunch of royalty, shaved his little mustache, and moved to.
He's just selling it. Like,
do you think he made that much money?
Everywhere.
You think he made millions? You think he made?
I think he made.
His heart exploded.
I think he made a decent amount of money.
He probably died of.
We should look him up. The micro machine guy.
Yeah, micro machine voice.
I'll just never forget
him. The OxyClean guy.
Do you guys remember the joke, the micro machines joke that everybody said in elementary school?
No.
You go up to your buddy like, hey. Does it say micro machines on your dick? And they'll be like, no. Be like, then it's not the real thing. Remember the commercial? If it didn't say micro machines, it's not the real thing.
That's I was only applicable back then.
Nobody ever did that to me.
Did you?
I missed on a lot being
You made a very sad face when you said that. I was homeschooled.
It made me feel like an asshole.
Wait, I would have laughed at that joke if it was in my childhood.
I was homeschooled. What are friends? Yeah. So this is crazy.
Our family reunions are awesome.
We're all super, super optimized right now. But we need to let our listeners know. I had something on my head that is sending light to my scalp.
That was a neuro. It was photobiomodulation.
So it was bathing my scalp with photomodulation. Mm. And I had a nose, what I call a nose dildo, but it's actually a nose something else.
Clamp almost?
Nose dildo for Alzheimer's. And big difference between that and a regular nose dildo.
My bad. And it sent light into my nose because apparently that also is good for your brain and increases...
Right. Releases nitric oxide.
Into my brain.
Right. And activates mitochondrial activity in neural tissue.
Okay, wait. Back that up a second. So the light actually releases the nitric oxide?
The light causes the release of nitric oxide by mitochondria.
Or by
the cells in the neural tissue, which activate mitochondria.
Okay.
But the cool thing is the nitric oxide crosses the blood-brain barrier. And when I interviewed the people who developed this device for Alzheimer's and dementia, they talked to me about how you get the increase in alpha brainwave activity. So there's a change in EEG.
So there's measurable changes. Mapping.
But the other thing that you get is an improvement in sports performance due to the increase in nitric oxide.
Oh, what a waste to put it on him then.
Well, you know what?
Taking beets or
chocolate. You know what else not nitric oxide does? You get a boner. It helps you with your boner getting ability. So that would explain what happened shortly after.
Doesn't Viagra have a ton of that?
No, Viagra doesn't have a ton of nitric oxide. Oh, Viagra reduces the degradation of it.
Sildenafil. So nitric oxide actually stays active. And so the best way to use Viagra, if you're going to use Viagra, is you have a bunch of beets or arugula or chocolate or something else that's going to amplify the nitric oxide release. The sildenafil will increase the amount of time that it stays in the bloodstream.
Okay, we
got it. And you're the dude like the protoplasm in the emergency.
And you got it. Exactly. And you got a boner for 4 hours.
You got to back that up because I feel like let's be honest here. There's a lot of listeners that got to be using Viagra. Yeah, what's the Viagra recipe here? You just said what? What did you combine it with?
So you'd want...
It's a PDE5 inhibitor.
There is this...
instead of talking all nerdy in science, let's explain to somebody who would actually take Viagra and want to amplify it with some shit.
Well, there was this summit called the Men's Sexual Satisfaction Summit online. I'm sure you can probably Google it and find it. And I talked about how this idea, like this 4-hour chef idea, you know, I like Tim Ferriss and a lot of his ideas, but this whole concept that he has in that book, I think of a pre-sex meal of steak and some really, really fatty foods along with, I think it's pine pollen, is his recommendation so that the fats increase the libido enhancing potential of the pine pollen. That's all great on paper, but the problem is, I don't know if any of you guys have had like a huge steak and a bunch of fats prior to sex, but you're like in a food coma,
right?
Right. What you want is a very light nitric oxide releasing meal. Mm-hmm. So these would be things like beets, pine nuts, arugula, a little bit of watermelon, a little bit of dark chocolate,
alcohol,
and then of course Viagra.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah,
plenty of Viagra.
No, but even like a polyphenol rich alcoholic drink, right? Like something like a mojito with some pomegranate juice in it, right?
So you could try pycnogenol,
like some mint, cilantro, lime.
Pycnogenol. What is that? French Maritime.
It's very similar to that pine pollen.
Yeah, it'll boost up that nitric. In fact, I took pycnogenol pre workout. For a little while there, and one of the side effects was it gave me a headache. It was too much. Vasodilation.
So pine is really interesting. You smell like pine. Do you wear flannel? Yeah.
So that's an essential oil air diffuser over there on the surface of my desk. And I diffuse pine in that because it actually has a little bit of a nootropic effect. You know, very similar to like this. You guys have probably seen the research they've done in Japan on Shinrin Yoku, or forest bathing, where you get a decrease in salivary cortisol and an increase in alpha brainwave production.
Forest bathing.
All these cool things that happen when you get exposed to the polyphenols released from pine. But they also had a study that they did, and this was in rodent models, admittedly. But they took blue spruce oil, which is a special type of pine-like extract, and that actually increased testosterone in rodent models when they put this in their drinking water. So in this sauna that's in the room next door to where we're at right now, I have a whole bottle of this blue spruce oil, and I put it all over the sauna, inside the sauna when I go in there and do my morning sauna, and you feel amazing when you walk out. I haven't experimented much with like testing blood testosterone and consuming the stuff. But as far as pine in general goes, it's like one of my favorite scents.
Okay.
Now, here's something important, though, to note about nitric oxide, because like with anything, when we find that something has a beneficial effect, we tend to go crazy and want to boost the shit out of it or take a lot of it. nitric oxide does have an oxidizing effect mm-hmm. in the body, and so you have to be careful. If you go crazy with nitric oxide, if you're constantly bathing yourself in nitric oxide, you can get some oxidizing effects to your cells. You can accelerate the aging process. You can increase the risks of certain oxidized, you know, type-related degenerative diseases. So what I recommend a lot of people do if they're into the biohacking, and by the way, if you're an individual that is at a very high level with your training and nutrition like Ben, these are the types of people that would benefit from going the, you know, above and beyond. If your diet is shit and you're not exercising, you're not going to notice much. But what you need, what you should do is you should, if you're going to boost nitric oxide, is also increase your intake of antioxidants and things that can protect you from the oxidizing effects of nitric oxide. So I want to make sure we say that before, you know, people go crazy.
But you got to be careful with that too, because antioxidants will shut down your hormetic response to exercise.
It's all balanced,
I'm actually,
right?
Yeah. So I'm pretty careful with taking too many antioxidants, because I want my body to create its own. Now, at the same time, this is all individual, right? So if you go and you take your – if you get a genetic analysis, like a salivary genetic analysis, and you import the results to a website like DNA Fit, for example, you can actually look at your endogenous production of things like glutathione, superoxide dismutase, a lot of these antioxidants, and many people have lower than normal levels of endogenous antioxidant production, meaning that they would benefit from more regular utilization. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people produce a lot of glutathione.
Now, I have a question for you in regards to that. It'll show levels of antioxidants, but do they test and show?
No, it'll show the SNPs responsible, the genetic SNPs responsible
for producing
the antioxidants. And so basically the idea here is that some people are more genetically predisposed to recover more quickly or to produce more of their own. And maybe those are the people who your genetic ancestry came mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. copious hours of time spent in Mexican sunlight getting mm-hmm. the shit fried out of your
skin. So I have to ask you, does this have anything to do with your current book that you're working on? The whole pine thing. Your forest. Can we talk about that? Can we get into
it? Wait, what book?
I see you writing a book right now, aren't you?
No. Well,
don't lie to me right now.
Yeah, okay. I'm writing a fiction book.
Oh.
I'm writing a fiction book called The Forest.
Yes.
It takes place in forest. So I'm working on a whole series of books.
Oh.
After this one's going to be Snowland, like Snow Iceland, and then there'll be an ocean land and then a desert land. And every time that I'm starting into a new book, I'm taking my kids to an area of the world where that land actually exists, right? So we'll spend time researching. So when I start the desert book, I'll take him to South America. We'll spend some time down there.
You're going to go to Antarctica?
So,
that's actually really cool.
So for inspiration. But the very first book, because we live out in the forest, I figured why not just start with what's right here in our own backyard? Because we go out there in the backyard and find wild nettles and mint and Oregon grapefruit and all manner of these different wild edibles and do like the forest walking. We do sit spots. My kids do a local wilderness survival school here, which is taught by a guy who studied under Tom Brown, like this famous like wilderness tracker, wilderness explorer. And so they learn how to survive outside, how to like dig your own debris shelter and how to harvest your own plant roots and leaves. But a big part of that too is we go out here in the backyard and we practice. So some nights we'll go out there and camp and we'll set up our tent. And on Fridays in the summer, when you're here at the Greenfield house, you can only eat food that you gathered from the forest until dinner. Right. And until then, all you can eat is what came from the forest. So you can take it back. Like you can go get wild nettles and you're allowed to use things from inside the house. So you can get wild nettles and you could take some avocado oil or olive oil, come back in and fry those up with some pepper.
So you're teaching your kids this right now. This is like
ready for zombie apocalypse. Right. So ready.
Oh, exactly. Actually, zombie apocalypse is basically a shotgun. I mean, fuck the wild nettles. I'm going straight for the home defender.
Yeah.
To throw nettles.
Samurai sword.
Yeah.
that looks like it works.
But yeah, I mean, the idea is that sometimes necessity is the mother of invention. So if you are able to open the refrigerator and eat the eggs and the steak and the tuna and everything, that's what you're going to do. But if you know all you can do is eat from outdoors, then you're going to go grab pineapple weed and you know, Oregon grape and mint and, you know, all these different cornucopia of different wild plant extracts, which, speaking of antioxidants, are great because they're a huge, huge stressor on the body, mm-hmm. right?
Now, are you afraid that your kids will become teenagers and rebel or go to college and rebel and then just eat Pop-Tarts and like Hot Pockets?
No, I don't know if we talked about this on the previous episode that we did, but my belief with my kids is I let them do anything they want. all I do is I educate them, right?
I love
So that, what do they call that, free range parenting or something?
Yeah, the other day I was vaping in my little magic flight box, right? And we were just having dinner, and I was taking a few hits off the vape. And River, my son, he grabs, he doesn't know how to use the battery or anything, but he as I walked into the kitchen to grab some salt, I came back and he was trying over the straw. And I explained to him all the research that does indeed show that, especially when you're under the age of 18, it can affect gray matter in the brain and it can affect neural cell activity. And there are some there's mm-hmm. some pretty conclusive research that shows that marijuana Absolutely. May actually harm the brain in the same way that I tell them that alcohol, until your liver is fully formed, is not going to be that great, especially in high quantities for your liver, or that coffee, for example, is not that great for bone density. And then I let them choose if they want to try dad's vape or have a glass of wine or drink a cup of coffee or, you know, eat a gluten cupcake at their friend's birthday party. And they always make good decisions when I educate them. So, for example, they know gluten, even if it doesn't hurt your tummy, can cause some neural inflammation, some brain inflammation, especially if it's like a concentrated form of gluten from commercial wheat. So when they go to their friend's house at the birthday party, they realize that eating a quarter of a cupcake provides them with far less concentrated form of gluten than if they eat the whole cupcake. So they'll have like part of the cupcake, or they'll have, you know, when somebody brings the chips or the bread to the table when we're at a restaurant, they'll have like one half of a piece of bread or a couple of chips. So they understand moderation.
Now, what's that like as a father, knowing that you've implemented this strategy, right, with them, and then watching it actually play out like that, where they're making these decisions. I mean, you got to be fucking pumped inside.
Right.
He's got to make you super happy. No,
it's fantastic. Like the other day, I took River out on a date. I took him to Wild Sage, one of our favorite restaurants here. It's like a fancy, right? It's kind of cool to take your kids to a fancy restaurant because you teach them a bit of etiquette, put the napkin in the lap, which fork to use, which knife to use. It's a very cool experience for a kid. But they had like this goat cheese that they brought to the table along with pork belly and crostinis and pea sprouts. It was a great little appetizer. But there was this huge pile of goat cheese left on the plate when we finished. And I said, River, do you want the goat cheese? And he said, no, I don't want to have too much dairy because it kind of affects my ability to talk. It makes me stutter a little
bit.
But he knows his taunt, and he knows that because when he was playing soccer, we figured out that by reducing the amount of dairy that he ate, not eliminating it, but just being careful, because we eat good dairy, right? We eat goat cheese and raw dairy and all this stuff. But when he has too much, he stutters. And he seems to have some issues with like exercise-induced asthma. And so we educated him about what dairy does to his body. And now he's able to make decisions like that.
That's excellent.
That's the whole philosophy, approach I use. Educate your kids.
I use that approach on my kids, but I used it with a combined old school approach. So I educate them. And then if they do what I don't want them to do, then I beat them. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely effective. They've been super good with everything.
We don't believe in beating. We have cages and we hang them. Yeah. Right.
Throw them in the cold shock therapy.
So I had the lights on my scalp up my nose. And then Justin had like really futuristic looking light glasses.
I was seeing green and I felt like,
what does that do?
So every morning, especially we live, as you can see, we're on a north facing slope. We've got pretty good sunlight outside right now. But usually from about 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., especially in the winter, that's when you get sunlight. And before and after that, there's really not a lot of sun exposure. So you miss out on your body's major Zeitgebers, or circadian rhythm cues, are exercise, food, and light. So if you're trying to reset your circadian rhythms, or you've been traveling a lot, or you want to eliminate the symptoms of jet lag, one thing that you can do is a light exercise session in the morning. Another is not skipping breakfast, but instead including breakfast. And it appears that including like 20 to 30 grams of protein with breakfast is just as important as having breakfast when it comes to regulating circadian rhythm. Then the final one is light. And blue light from sunlight is ideal. We're standing in my office right here underneath. You see how bright these lights are?
Yeah, these are with these full spectrum or whatever.
When I'm in here in the evening, these lights are not on because these are made by a company called Lighting Science. They're called biological LED bulbs. And they produce huge amounts of light from the blue light wave spectrum, which is great for shutting down melatonin and for sending your body a message that it's daytime, especially, you know, we're as close as we can get to standing under sunlight right now by being underneath these bulbs. You can see over there attached to the desk lamp on my office is what's called a Ruby Lux lamp. So the only thing that will be in here when you come in here and I'm working at night is that lamp, which is all red light, and then, of course, the giant ball light panel.
Oh, I can't wait. We're going to talk about that.
Let's hold on to the whole.
Anyways, though, but when I get up in the morning and I'm wandering around the kitchen and I'm making coffee and I'm kind of sitting upstairs at the kitchen table because I don't really come down to my office early in the morning, I wear what Justin was wearing, and that is these special glasses that produce 10,000 lux of light, which is the same spectrum of light. It's called greenish blue light. It's very different from these white light boxes that people will prescribe or use for seasonal affective disorder. This is a different spectrum of light. It's much closer to what sunlight produces and does not produce the same retinal damage as those blue light boxing lights produce. Mm. And then the other thing that you had in your ears, you actually have photoreceptors in your ears that when stimulated cause a release of things like serotonin and dopamine and adrenaline. A lot of these things you get from you look at, from when you look at sunlight. So you had the human charger in your ears.
Yeah,
and then you had the retrainer. So every morning in the winter, I do both of those at the same time for 12 to 20 minutes every single morning. I put the lights on, the glasses, and then the in-ear, and that's why.
I like to just because, you know, I could say Zeitgeibers now.
Zeitgeist.
Yeah. I was influencing on Zeitgeist.
Yeah. So you mentioned it, so now we got to talk about it. I'm going to explain this to the listeners. It looks like it's a big panel. Adam should take a picture of it and post it on.
What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to take a video while we're talking about it.
It's like a panel of lights, and when you turn it on, they're red. And they seem to be warm, maybe because the red color gives that impression. And what you're supposed to do...
It feels powerful.
Is like you're supposed to...
Put this, it on. Here.
Yeah, turn
this
it on.
Energy.
Boom. Yeah. You're actually not supposed to...
Whoa. God, it's damn, right. Really doesn't bright. That just hit you?
No, you're... when I'm in here at night, I wear like these blue light blocking glasses. Because it's actually not good. It came with special glasses you're supposed to wear because you're not supposed to look at that light.
Oh, I see.
So what you do is you...
He didn't tell us that. For your eyes. We're all staring at it.
You just got eye cancer.
So I'm going to explain now. You turn this... You stand damn over it. Whoa, you take man, all... So of, you take your powerful. Pants and underwear off. So you're straddling it.
Well, I don't wear underwear, so just the pants.
Pants off. So now you've got nude...
Well, we found that out.
You've got ball skin hanging over it, and then you bathe your balls...
So 5 to 20 minutes,
in this red light.
You bathe your balls. Now, it's very important to use the light from the right wave spectrum. So if you were to do this in sunlight...
So if I bathe my balls in different light...
So if you were to use, like, UVA light from a tanning bed, for example...
Not good.
Not good.
Not gonna fry things.
So what happens, though, is when the Leydig cells in your testes get exposed to light...
And those produce testosterone.
In the very same way that when your neural cells get exposed to, like, light that you stick up your nose, you activate mitochondria.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't aware of this until this fertility doctor who I spoke with in Finland is the guy who first filled me in on this. He wrote an article for my site called 17 Ways to Biohack Your Testosterone. One of the things that he talks about is the studies they've done that have shown increased sperm production and increased testosterone when you bathe your balls in 600 to 700 nanometers of red light. And that's exact. So this thing was
now,
not
do you
designed
get that? How
for
close
that.
Do you get that to
but,
that?
But this thing arrived in my house. They're like, oh, you can use this just like a sauna. I'm like, I have a freaking sauna. I have like a full sauna that I can go inside. But then I got to looking at this thing. I'm like, I could set this up against my desk like so. It's right next to my crotch, and I could flip this on while I'm working.
Always optimizing.
Wouldn't that not be the most epic picture ever, though? Like his backside, right. Like standing and, working, just
and the
pants
and,
down.
Well, I have a YouTube video where.
Oh, you did?
And you get like increased vascularities and you get increased size.
Is
and
it
you
warm?
Have better sex afterwards, and it gets like warm and snuggly. And
see, here's the thing.
Just the size of your balls.
So here's the thing, because they talk a lot about the placebo effect, and I'm sure there's a lot of science.
Sometimes I straddle the light and smear some coconut oil.
This
on
is
it.
What I'm saying. This is what I'm thinking.
I'm getting uncomfortable.
I'm trying to picture this. I'm at my desk. I'm working, and I just take everything off. So now I'm naked from the bottom down.
Right.
I don't need light. I think that's going to naturally make me feel. You know, I think I might produce more testosterone.
I should do a control
just because I'm naked.
That actually would be interesting to see.
Because I think just letting my shit hang out, and I've done this. I experiment like this all the time. When I don't have the kids and I'm at home.
Yeah.
I do walk around bottomless.
Well, I was actually telling you guys about this. So upstairs, we were messing around with the saddle chair, right? Which is the special chair that splits your pelvis bone apart.
Awesome.
Yeah, but the next part's great.
It was designed by a guy who rides horses in Finland. He's actually known as one of the top like health and fitness entrepreneurs in Finland because he has all these crazy ideas like playing tennis with your right and left arm so that you don't create biomechanical abnormalities from tennis the same as you would get in like a baseball pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And he creates these saddle chairs. He has like a desk. I've interviewed him on my podcast. His name is Vessi. He has this desk that has cameras built in that will detect when you're typing versus when you're, say, talking on the phone or reading and adjust the height of your monitor accordingly because it's supposed to be a different height. But then he has these saddle chairs. He develops special kind of clothing that keep the pressure. Like he's big time into like the bras cause cancer. You know, clothing inhibits fertility in men. So like all of his clothing is specially designed to
loose.
Not compress you. When I went to his house, he was sleeping.
See that emo kids, you're doing it wrong.
When I went to his house, he was sleeping in a helmet at night because he was trying to figure out the ideal height for a pillow that he's designing to increase the amount of cranial flow, like blood flow to the brain, because he believes that like the cocked neck from the height of most modern pillows
not good.
Reduces the blood flow to the brain and the biomechanical position of the neck while you're asleep. And then the thing that I think that you were talking about was he's trying to convince the entire Finnish swim team to begin to do all their training naked because he's found that the tightness of the swimwear actually reduces the...
And he's really into that.
Right, the motor recruitment of the glutes. So you get less glute extension, less glute activation.
Which you could argue that's science. I know we could argue that's science.
So he's like, well, you should do all your swim training naked. Yeah. And so like a lot of these things kind of make sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, all right, but now we got to do this.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't know about this.
We own our own...
And by the way, I swam laps naked with him when I was there.
No, you didn't.
Wow.
Yeah, just to test this out. Like we went to his local gym early in the morning. Nobody was there in the pool, so we just took all our clothes.
You're the greatest sport ever, bro.
Did they touch? So we have a gym in our that we own ourselves that we film in that's private just for us. We should just work out naked and just see what happens.
Wow. Do you know they actually have something called the private gym? It's upstairs in my bathroom. It's a series of weighted magnets that you train with. Very similar to like the old school method of like putting a wet towel around your dick.
Oh, yeah.
Getting a boner and training the strength of your boner by hoisting an increasingly wet and larger towel. This is the same thing.
I've been doing this for up to five towels.
It's a little magnet. It comes with a little booklet training program.
I'm not touching those things.
And you get a boner. Yeah, don't touch the magnets in the bathroom. you get a boner. And, every time you train with it, I did 2 months of training with it. I wrote a whole report on my website.
Did you really?
Yeah. And basically what it does is it gets you stronger and stronger because you add magnets every time you train.
Oh, this is great.
And the little magnets fit right around your dick, and it's called the private gym. You can Google it.
The private
gym. Oh, my God. We should sell it on our website.
Are you sponsored yet by them?
Are you sponsored?
No.
Please. Oh, okay, no. Come on.
But actually,
I'm sitting on opportunity.
My website did get sponsored for a few podcast episodes by the people who do the shockwave therapy for your dick.
Whoa. This is a lot of dick training.
Sounds aggressive.
You have a very optimized...
This is right up our alley, though. I feel like why aren't we sponsored by a company like this?
So this was when I went I spoke at a yoga retreat in Costa Rica. And on my way back, flying home from Costa Rica, I stopped off in Florida at this clinic called Health Gains. And what they do is what's called extracorporeal shockwave therapy, where I walk in there. And they hand me this bottle of numbing cream that I smear all over my dick. Then I walk into this room and there's this and looks like some out of a movie, hot nurse in like the white nurse's outfit, like holding this wand, smiling at me. And I sit down in the medical examination chair, spread my legs with the numbing cream on my dick, and they do 20 minutes of shockwave therapy using a specific acoustic frequency.
Like, do they
frequency.
Have like a button that they're just...
And what it does is it causes some vascular damage. It's like a hormetic treatment for your dick. You grow new vessels. And since I've done that, the effects last for a month or two.
I mean, I'm in.
So basically, you get these massive boners every night. It's just like doing the light for the balls, except it's like that on
steroids. We'll be posting a picture on our Instagram page.
And, okay, so if you've done something like this, have you...
Extracorporeal shockwave therapy. And we talk about Viagra or Cialis. The effects for this last months with none of the side effects. And it actually works. Like it was kind of funny because as I'm walking out of there when I got the treatment, they're like, "Do you have a woman you can be with tonight?"
Were they gonna offer you one?
I'm fucking 3,000 miles from home.
You gotta use this thing.
And it was kind of funny because I'm like, I'm supposed to have dinner with my grandma at a Cuban restaurant.
Oh my God!
So they're like, okay, so you might want to wait till you get home. Yeah. But it's kind of funny because I was sitting there with my grandma at the Cuban restaurant when stuff kind of started, like the numbing cream started to wear off and things started to like move around down there. It was like tiny little snakes in my dick. And I was like, holy cow, what's going on?
And, this is really awkward, Grandma.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Grandma, can you wet your napkin and hand it to me, please?
Yeah.
We're going to do some exercises.
Yeah. Wow. Exactly.
That's almost like that. That's almost like that. What's that thing you were talking about?
Are you
going
to finish your black beans and rice? Because my dick is hungry, I think.
the penis pump?
Yeah, what's up? You were talking about this growth hormone and penis pump thing that was apparently makes things grow.
I met a doctor.
Adam's combo.
Yeah, I met a doctor who swore up and down that if you were taking growth hormone and you were using a penis pump, that you would see a significant change.
Growth.
I asked these people how this is different than a penis pump, and they said you can cause some vascular damage with a penis pump, very similar to this.
Yeah, right. That's what I was getting ready to ask you.
But what I did was because I I mean, I'm out here. I'm a complete like hippie out in the forest. I don't like to have to fly to a clinic in Florida to do this kind of stuff. So I started to research these units to see if I could buy one for home use, like one of these extracorporeal shockwave therapy units. And I found a company in Germany that actually produces this same type of unit that they used on me. Yeah. They wouldn't sell it
to me. Of course.
They will not sell it for consumer home use. I know why.
Because you could go too far.
They don't want some kids sticking in their ears.
Or you don't want to break. You don't want to have someone break their dick and sue them. Because if it causes damage, I'm assuming you could go too far.
Breaking your dick.
Well, if I just jacked up the music really loud and similar to this ball light, pulled down my pants in front of a speaker and just blasted it with sound, that I might get similar effects.
You could go too far with a penis pump, and you can still get away with that. I mean, you just kind of have a disclaimer.
Play your
guitar
really loud next to my penis.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Biohacking goes in many different directions here.
Absolutely.
Now,
you have to ask him what we were talking about last night.
We were talking last night.
And I said, you know, this would be a great question. As Ben with the whole biohacking, we were talking about people, what we thought in the future, where we're going to be as far as
artificially intelligence. You're so ahead of the curve when it comes to these advanced technologies. Where do you see AI playing a role in this? Because, I mean, AI is going to change, potentially can change everything.
So here is what I'm most excited about with AI. And this is being developed right now by a company. I had a walkthrough of it last week, and I'm under NDA. I'm not allowed to actually talk about which company is doing this. But the idea is that you get your blood, your saliva, your microbiome, your urine, your hormones, everything tested. There is AI out there that will not only interpret those results for you, but actually create a customized supplement, lifestyle, exercise, diet program for you based on those results. And you have like this special dashboard that you can log into, and you can see a walkthrough of all your results. And it's all based off actual data, literally like hundreds of thousands of patients they've been tracking over the past several years as they've been developing this software. It's a very big company that has access to big, big data. But that's what I'm excited about with AI, is for me to be able to say, have my phone, and they have lab on a chip technology too, which means people are going to be able to take their blood using their phone or using like an at-home test kit. So what excites me is being able to test my blood, plug it in, attach my phone to my computer,
real time,
and all of a sudden, boom, there I can see it. So AI is interpreting all my values, but then also, more importantly for me, rather than me have to pay a physician or pay a consultant or pay a trainer or pay a dietitian,
you can make little micro tweaks.
All of a sudden, boom, it's right there in front of me, tells me exactly what to do.
So all of a sudden,
not only is microbiome and blood testing affordable to the masses, but think about the potential for this. So you could apply it towards the medical route. So here's something, and again, and I can't say which company this is, but for example, they're partnering up with a food company, meaning that what you can do is you can actually, you know, these companies like Blue Apron and HelloFresh, like what if they had access to your AI or to all your blood, saliva, data, customized meals created for you based off your macronutrient ratio and your nutrient deficits, delivered to your home. You get all the ingredients with the recipe cards. You make the meal yourself, and it's all tweaked for your custom.
It's just getting way more specific.
Yeah. I have to say this. Probably one of the most frustrating things that I have to say to people when they ask me questions about nutrition and exercise and supplements and sleep and all these things. The most frustrating answer that we all have to give people is it depends.
Yeah.
It's always what you have to say. It depends, and that there are general rules, but the variances between individuals can be absolutely dramatic. And I agree with you. Like, if you look at some of the most optimized athletes or trainers who are very successful at training clients, they've just gotten really fucking good at reading these little signals because they've done it for 20 or 30 years. I mean, I've been a trainer for 20 years. I'm pretty good now at reading signals with my clients, but I have to ask a lot of questions. It's all subjective.
You got to see patterns.
I got to look at patterns. I wouldn't know this had I not done this for 20 years. I cannot imagine what it's going to be like when it's going to be an objective metric that you can read all these things.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, like, annoying question. What's the best supplement I can take?
Exactly.
Well, do you have a genetic SNP responsible for poor methylation?
Right.
It might be methyl tetrahydrofolate. Mm-hmm. Are you vegan? Maybe it's creatine, right? So, yeah, I mean, once you have a computer that can spit all this out for you.
Well, even that, man, I was so fascinated when we had a buddy, Euron, who is doing some work right now with the
Food Print.
Yeah, Food Inc.
Oh, Food Inc.
Food Inc. is the company that he works with. And they're trying to get this passed right now.
Isn't that a documentary, Food Inc.?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah. I don't. Yeah, Food Inc. is the company. It's the parent company to what they're doing right now.
Oh, okay.
But anyways,
are we allowed to talk about?
We can talk about that. We can't. He has some stuff that
gets sued. But you can talk about it.
They're doing the glucose monitors, right? Yeah. So, and I remember one of the questions I asked him right away. I said, "Well, I understand the glycemic index. So, you know, how obvious or how big is it of a difference?" And he's like, "Oh, you would be blown away by the individual difference on how
that book right there, Wired to Eat by Rob Wolf, that I just finished reading."
He's somebody I'd like to get on the show, by the way.
Part of that book that he goes, I can make an introduction later on if you really want. But that book goes into how, rather than just eating any specific diet, there's this research based out of Israel that they did a couple of years ago that shows that some people eat a cookie and have a completely non-responsive glucose
index.
That's
exactly what
their glucose doesn't rise at all. Cookie, banana, whatever. And then some people, it goes through the roof. So what his whole diet in that book is based off of using a blood glucose monitor to measure fasting and postprandial blood glucose. And if my lunchtime salad of whatever, sardines and fennel seed and some vegetables and a handful of pumpkin seeds makes your blood glucose go through the roof and stay up there, and
then you're
over 120 2 hours
later, for this.
Then hey, that's a great diet for me, but for you, obviously, there's something in there causing a deleterious glucose response.
And so what they're trying to do, and one of the problems with that, with measuring glucose, you got to prick your finger, you got to measure. They have devices now, and what they're trying to do is bring these to the mainstream market where it's constant.
It's in your shoulder, and you go like, this is your iPhone.
And
it's constant. Yeah. You can see what's happening real time all the time.
Well, they have like a Dexcom G5.
That's actually one of the companies he works with.
I have a prescription for it. Now, the Dexcom G5, the cool thing about that, you know, we were talking early about, you know, invisible variables like air and light and water and electricity and how you do need to be careful with electrical pollution and constantly getting irradiated with devices. It's one of the few constant blood glucose monitors that doesn't bombard your body with radiation the whole time that it's on you. So it's not like constantly emitting a Bluetooth signal. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that that's an implantable. The reason I haven't done it is because I'm still doing obstacle course racing and there's still some issues with like water and barbed wire.
Okay, along the lines of that though, like implanting stuff, how open are you to as technology advances?
Well, that's really the topic we got into last night was
do you know how many fucking hundreds of thousands of like red nanoparticles are just circulating around in my shoulder from something like that? I mean, anybody who's got a tattoo should not snub their nose at getting anything else implanted in their body.
That's a great point.
All the pigments you have circulating around in your body, plus possibly quite a bit of hepatitis from just a tattoo. No, I'm serious.
Depends on where you're getting it.
Well, I've gotten tattoos that have like hepatitis C, nanoparticles. I've gotten MRIs of my body, and I have low redox potential in this shoulder just from red ink. Like you would be surprised at what a lot of these things can do.
I got a question for you then. If you do get a tattoo, then do you recommend just plain black? Is that the best one?
If I could go back and do it again, I'd stick with just plain black. Red is the worst. Red is the worst color to put in a tattoo.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Because I have just plain black on my back. I didn't know this when I got it. And then later on, I heard some of the stuff what you're talking about. And I was like, holy shit, because you have no idea. Yeah, you have no idea. But if you think about it, obviously,
if I could go back and do it again, I'd do henna. Sparkles.
Henna sparkles.
Glitter.
Dolphins.
I got my tattoo in the Philippines, so I'm sure I'm okay.
Probably. Totally legit.
Yeah. Sure. On the streets in the Philippines. So.
Right, exactly. Just like the Tijuana testosterone.
Somebody asked us about, was it Whoop? WHOOP.
What is that?
Device.
I have one. I usually use the ring for self-quantification. It's this Aura ring that I'm wearing. That measures body temperature and heart rate variability, but I can keep it in airplane mode all day long, so I'm not irradiating my body with a constantly transmitted Bluetooth signal like a Fitbit or a Jawbone might be releasing. Mm-hmm. And then when I want to sync it to my phone and download all my data, I put it in Bluetooth mode, download all the data, then shut the radiation back off, right? So that's one of the things that I like about it. Plus, it looks like it came out of a cereal box, which is just a great conversation.
It looks
starter.
very superhero-like.
The Whoop is very cool. I interviewed them for my show. I own one. It does a lot of similar things, right? Body temperature and heart rate variability and all these different measurements that kind of will, you know, in the morning, it'll tell you, hey, your nervous system is prepared and ready to train, or you're beat up. You might be on the brink of overtraining or injury, so take an easy day. But the cool thing about Whoop is that they have a really, really good athlete coach interface. So for coaches who are working with a stable of athletes, for example, and want every one of those athletes to wear a Whoop, but then want like a centralized dashboard they can log into to see every single athlete and say, oh, hey, my point guard today, he's going to need to make this, you know, a pretty easy day. But, you know, my guards, based on their current training platform, they're going to be able to handle a pretty, pretty tough workout. You know,
that's great.
Basically, it's got a really cool athlete interface, which is why I like that as a self-quantification option.
You can be more specific that way to the training.
For coaches, teams, et cetera. Now, the reason that I'm more married right now to wearing the ring than the Whoop is I'm waiting for the delivery of another wristband that I can only handle so many things on my wrist before I start to look like a cat lady. So this thing is called a Quantlet, and what it does is it cools the blood and irradiates the blood with a little bit of light, kind of like that photobiomodulation thing that you were wearing. And it does that all through a bracelet that you wear, so you get the benefits of light and temperature. I interviewed a physician named Dr. Jack Cruz about this bracelet about a year and a half ago as they were under development. Well, they're shipping now, hopefully at some point in the next couple of months. So I'll have this bracelet, which is why I didn't want to get too married to the Whoop, because I know I'm going to have another bracelet coming that I'm going to be wearing all the time. So that one's called the Quantlet, and that's basically using temperature and light to regulate health. It's not a self-quantification bracelet, but I figure combined with that, the ring and my watch, my arms are going to be heavy enough. So.
Wow, awesome.
My biceps are going to be huge.
What? Now, you're constantly competing and training for different events. Yeah. The last time we talked to you, you had done an event where...
The hunting one.
Yeah, where it's like an obstacle course, and then you have to shoot at targets and throw spears, and which I think is fucking awesome. And really... mimics ancestral hunting.
That's why outside right now you guys see like a bunch of ropes hanging from the trees and rigs and logs. Like this is my training grounds.
Well,
up here.
I was just going to ask you: is there anything coming up? Are you training for anything in particular? What does your workouts look like now?
I just signed a contract with Spartan and Reebok.
Oh, did you?
So I'm racing for the Spartan Pro Team now.
Oh, shit!
So congratulations!
All over NBC this year and running up and down the hill. So that's right. Really the main.
Oh, we have to come to a major event.
Yeah.
For sure.
Come on. There's six. If you go to Google and you Google like NBC Spartan races, you'll see the races. So that's going to be the main thing for this year. But then I'll be trying to defend my Idaho title for Train to Hunt and trying to win nationals for that. That's the bow hunting obstacle racing competition.
Explain Spartan. What a Spartan race is to some of our listeners. What does that?
So
look
you've
like?
Seen like a Tough Mudder before, which is like a bunch of. But you go and kind of a Tough Mudder is kind of like you have fun on that, right? Like it's a bunch of you go through with your friends.
It's
and
not as competitive.
It's like the amateur version. Yeah, right? So Spartan is a race. Yeah. Where it's timed and there's prizes and there's podiums and I mean it's a full on race where you know, you're taking off and you might have 20 obstacles over the course of 3 miles where it's barbed wire crawls and sandbag carries and wall climbs and rope climbs and you know rig. You saw when you came up in the driveway, you have like a ring and a rope and a climbing ball and then, you know, a nunchuck and a whole bunch of stuff. You got to swing through like a gorilla, you know, water swims, cold water plunges, just like anything they want to throw at you over the course of the race distance. And it might be 3 miles, it might be 8 miles. World championships is like 13 and a half miles. So,
gnarly.
What I like about it is I spent a decade competing in Ironman triathlons. Once I got out of bodybuilding, so in college I was a tennis player and I did bodybuilding and I played water polo and just kind of experimented with a lot of explosive glycolytic sports. But then I got into Ironman. Because it is kind of similar to bodybuilding, like a geekery sport, especially the nutrition part of things. It's a sport of attrition where you have to have the nutrition part of things figured out or you're just done.
Or you die. Or you shut down.
Kind of like bodybuilding. How much you lift, if you rip your shirt off on stage and you've been eating Big Macs, you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be strong, but embarrassed.
Yep.
And you know, similar to Ironman, you know, no matter how much you do, and how aerobically fit you are and how dense your mitochondria are, if you don't figure out a way to crack the nut of like hydration and nutrition during the race, you're screwed. And because I studied a lot of nutrition in graduate and undergrad and college, like I love to geek out on that stuff. So I did about a decade of competing in Ironman. The problem is that's a chronic repetitive motion sport, chock full of injuries and hormonal issues because it is kind of unhealthy in terms of full body
it's
functional
extreme.
Fitness. So when I found obstacle course racing, I'm like, oh, hey, I can still kind of like tap into that desire to have like something really tough from like a stamina standpoint, something that really pushes the body as far as being able to last for long periods of time and kind of tap into nature. But at the same time, my body is moving in way more different directions. I'm all of a sudden having to carry heavy stuff, move sideways, hoist things, have surprises. There's even a mental component, right? There's like memory stations where you got to like run by it, memorize a series of letters and numbers.
No way.
And spit that out like 6 miles later. And so yeah, I mean, it's kind of like full body and mind fitness.
How many of these competitions will you do a year?
So this year I'll do 6 for Spartan Racing, which is a lot fewer than, so in the past I've done like a dozen races in a year. But I'm also launching a new company this year, so I need to be careful with how much I'm traveling around.
Well, see, it's important to know, like, if you're going to, first of all, these are extreme events, and they can be very damaging on the body if you're not careful, but you hack everything. I mean, you really benefit from all these little things that you do to keep your body healthy. I mean,
I disagree.
You think so?
I do not. So the best guys on the planet in obstacle course racing, they're not sticking laser lights up their nose or pulling down their pants in front of a ball lights. So a lot of that stuff that I do, it's for longevity.
Everybody else,
right?
Is.
It's for sexual wellness and enjoying that part of life. It's for cognitive performance, right?
Well, that's what I mean, though. You're going to minimize the damage.
I could go
though,
train
right?
like a beast, eat a bunch of eggs and sweet potatoes, and do pretty well in Spartan racing. I don't have to stick.
I'm glad you said that, though. I think it's important to note that. I think that a lot of the biohacking that you're doing is for different reasons. Not like you attribute that to your success.
It's for better living through science. It's for the fact that a lot of this stuff, it's very fun to be able. I mean, part of what I do, part of my shtick, is I spend time in the trenches figuring out what works and what doesn't. Not just for workouts and for crawling around the barbed wire, but trying out the ball lights and, hey, does this actually work? Or what's the shockwave therapy do? Like, how do you feel after that? Or like we were talking about in the show we just recorded for your guys' podcast, what happens when you blend a bunch of CBD with turmeric and black pepper and reishi spores? Like, do you sleep well? Does it fuck up your deep sleep cycles? And so now I've got my sleep graph and I'm able to say, oh, hey, this is a really good blend for sleep. It did all these cool things. That's part of what I do. And a lot of it isn't because I'm convinced that it's going to make me a better athlete, but there's a lot more to life than just pure performance.
Excellent.
Well, what I found, 100%. And you mentioned this, and I think it got, I mean, when we think about podcasting, we're babies compared to you. I mean, you're like 10 years deep into this. And I already see that happening with us. Like, as more brilliant minds, we get a chance to hang out with.
We go further and further down.
Yeah, I go like, hey, I'm going to dabble with this. And there's certain things that I apply, and I go, hey, that's something that has improved this. Like, I mean, I notice even little things like relationships, like the way I am with my partner and the way I am with my family and friends, like, because I'm de-stressing and I'm creating these better habits for myself. So I could see, and we've talked. I remember the first time we met you, we're like, man, Ben has like got all this crazy stuff. But fuck, dude, I can't imagine how many actually brilliant minds you've been around for the last 10 years podcasting. I'm sure that's what's going to happen to us, because I see what happens after we have one good guest like that.
It's a little sight to the future.
And then there's some stuff that doesn't work. Like, you'll find out that the coconut oil foot electrocutor doesn't do shit. And that's one that... People send stuff to my... You guys probably already get this.
Let's do this. Podcast.
People send stuff to you and you're like, this just does not...
And then
you feel bad because they're like, oh, we want you to talk about us on your podcast. And you're like, but it didn't work. Like, but we want to give you $3,000 to talk about us on your podcast. You're like, but it didn't work. Like, it doesn't fucking work.
Can we cover like the three worst things that have ever been sent to you that you're just I know, because we've gotten some shit. So I know you've definitely gotten some shit sent to you.
Vibrating shake weights.
Yeah. What is
there's a lot of stuff, but I'd have to say, some of the biggies, gosh, there's just like some, like a lot of it's supplements, right? Like all the supplements that they're just crap. Anything that has like the blue FDNC yellow number one and all that jazz in it.
Now, do you teach your assistant to filter that out? Like, does she know how to filter that out before it even gets to you? So does it waste your time?
Usually I'm the final say on that stuff, where I'll look at it and I'll be like, oh, this, and I'll sometimes, sometimes she'll open stuff and she'll know right off the bat. It's just not something.
Yeah. Cause she's been around with you long enough. She'll see things like
super rage pump 5,000.
Exactly. But I'm trying to think of things that have gotten sent to me that have just been a complete waste of time. Gosh, you put me on the spot.
I know I did, but I thought for sure you'd have a ton of them. Because
I'm trying, like, most of it is honestly like protein powders and meal replacement drinks and stuff like that I've thrown out. But as far as actual strange gear and biohacky like devices, One
or
was,
one that maybe even got that like fooled you that you thought maybe it was gonna be good and then you started using it and you're like, oh, this is a crock of shit. This is no good.
Usually it's exercise devices that are supposed to be complete game changers when it comes to sports performance. I have a whole, if you walk in there in the office, there's like a whole back session full of stuff that just doesn't work. Like for example, like these little wheels that are like training wheels for a bicycle attached to elastic cables, like elastic bands. And you're supposed to like get into positions on the ground, like roll them out to the side and roll them out to the front, roll them out to the back. And you can kind of see how this stuff might work on a very basic level. But then the marketing material that comes along with it is like, this is going to be an Olympic athlete game changer. This is going to
the overhype of
fitness.
It.
This is the last thing that you'll ever obnoxious. Need for fitness. What's another one that was really, really just kind of like a lot of these gimmicky made for TV
totally type of fitness devices. You got to get those. I had the
craziest one when I was watching spring training baseball. There was this guy that had, it was basically like these glasses that would flash. So it had like a strobe effect in it. So they were trying to market it like it would slow the ball pattern down so you could recognize it as it was coming into the plate. These guys that were wearing them, they were hitting them and they were going everywhere, like into the stands. And like once they took it off, it was just like they're so disoriented.
So there's one up in the bedroom that so this is the perfect example. So it is a pulsed electromagnetic field device. So it emits certain frequencies, which I'm all like, there's been some really interesting studies on PEMF for bone density, for example, and stimulating osteoclast activity. And these are actually PubMed peer-reviewed studies that have shown increased rate of bone healing. I've used PEMF devices, for example, for sleep before, where you'll put it over your brachial plexus, for example, and it'll stimulate nerve endings in the brachial plexus and cause a little bit of an EEG change in the brain in terms of like your delta brainwave production for while you sleep. Well, this one you place next to your bedstand, and the idea, bear with me here, is that certain organs will vibrate at certain frequencies. This is based on like Chinese herbal medicine and Ayurvedic medicine, where like your liver vibrates at a certain frequency and your heart at a certain frequency. And so you set this PEMF device next to your bedstand, and it broadcasts certain frequencies. So last night, for example, I set it on the love frequency to build up your feelings of trust and love and feel good while you sleep. And then I pushed play. Now, I'm not going to badmouth it yet because I haven't tested how much love I have today. Or like my heart rate very
low. That's a lovey today.
I feel a little lovey today.
You did.
So I'll give it the fair shake. I've been humping legs right and left. But that's an example of something that it's an example of something that arrives. I'm like, what the hell is this? What's it supposed to? So it's got like, you know, I can set it for trust or willpower or love, and apparently like if you wave it over your colon, it causes a near instantaneous dump of all waste matter out of your body. And so that's an example of something
you did use one of those like stomach massages, which I've heard that actually does work.
Oh, for inducing peristalsis, using any type of vibration tool moved in like a, it would be a clockwise motion, right? Following the motion of your colon.
Okay.
So from the top across, down, over, and down, right? Like the way that your large intestine travels through your body, that can induce peristalsis. I mean, you have that in the morning before you drink a cup of coffee.
Get a nice poop.
You poop like a baby. Like there's a device called a MyoBuddy that I have up in the kitchen that I'll, like when the coffee's on, I'll sometimes take that and just like vibrate across, down, over, and down, just following the path of the large intestine. And you like, especially like when you're traveling, if you have the ability to do like self-massage, when you get like traveler's constipation, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It works really well.
Oh, I bet. And then you get your squatty potty. You play the most
makes a lot of sense.
I'm coming over here for the most epic shit. Come to Ben's house for the most epic shit of your life.
Possible. Exactly. And there is a stainless steel enema kit in there somewhere if you wanted to.
You got everything.
Excellent.
No,
man.
I actually am, and I know we're running up against time here, but I actually am giving myself an enema right now as we were talking.
Stop it.
No, I'm serious. They make
what?
No, I use a glutathione and coffee based implantable suppository.
You put one they in your butt before we got over butt here
to get all the not. Effects of glutathione production.
Get the fuck out!
Adam's going to take a video.
It's called a
prove it. I want to see this.
But no, it's you guys have seen.
No, don't prove it, please.
So suppository. it's a suppository based coffee and glutathione enema.
Whoa.
And I have one inside of me right
now. You're squeezing.
Any excuse to put something
up your
butt.
Posture was a little different.
We're down with that. So
this like you put it up there, you're not supposed to poop it back out, like it just kind of dissolves in there. And it's like here's one other that I don't know if you guys have tried. Since you're in Washington State though, and you have access to a cornucopia of dispensaries, you could try this too. THC suppository. Have you tried this?
No. God, I would think that would hit you like a
if you do a THC suppository,
you get high fast.
THC capsule, you get high fast, but it's a localized high for your crotch. You do this before sex.
Whoa.
It's freaking amazing. Yeah. You do it about 20 to 30 hacks. Minutes right. prior
it actually
to sex.
Stays, yeah. It stays localized?
We're going to buy some.
You'll still get a little bit high for the brain because, as Sal just alluded to, you get that colonic mucosal delivery across the blood, but you also get a localized high for your crotch. So you take a couple of these THC capsules. Usually they come in 10 mg portions, and you just shove them up your butt before you have sex. Freaking amazing.
See,
is there a brand or a name you know? I feel like
the very act of like you have your girl over and you're like, hey, honey, this is totally going to make us have better sex. We need to start by having me put something up your butt. I feel like that alone takes it to the next level.
They also make a really good cream called Bond. It's a THC-infused sex lube, and there's a company out of Seattle that makes that stuff. It's really...
That's fucking awesome.
Really good.
As usual, we have learned a lot. Yeah.
You could put it in your coffee, too.
I got a lot of shopping
used as
to
a facial
do.
Cream.
Yeah, one of our audience's favorite guests.
No, it's not a nervous twitch. Yeah. My face is just high right now.
Hey, man.
Thanks for coming on the show again, bro.
Oh, bro.
Thanks,
it's always, always a pleasure awesome hanging dude. Out with you, man. Look forward to tonight.
Listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you'll get a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, go to YouTube. Check out Mind Pump TV. We post videos every single day. You can also find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. Justin's at Mind Pump Justin. And Adam's at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.